Welcome to Fantastic Females, our adventure to finding the mythical island of freedom together. I'm Kalyani.
And I'm Rupali. We are your next door finance experts sharing our experiences in the world of money and energetics. Welcome back to part two of the previous episode. Do listen to part one if you haven't already.
One part of this is also kind of taking me into a thought process around love languages. Mm. So my love language is not gifts. It's probably the lowest of all the love languages. And I know some people, close relatives, whose love languages are very aligned to gift giving and then possibly receiving as well. And this would end up adding a lot of pressure every time I would see them, because I would receive a big bag of things. And I don't think like that. So then I started putting pressure on accumulating that big bag to give in return, which was not very nice. Then I would start putting pressure on that big bag being used, whereas I would go to their house a year later and the big bag was under their beds, never having been used or like given to someone else, which would then again make me feel bad, because I would think, oh, I put all this effort. Whereas for them, it was just that momentary
thing,
exchange. And I don't think they give gifts from that energy of thinking about how useful it will be. Does she have this color already? Does she have this pattern already? Whereas I would put all this pressure on myself. Likewise. Because I don't think naturally in terms of gifts. So if some people do, it's taken me some time to accept that is their way of showing love. It doesn't have to be mine. It is not mine.
I struggle with gifts too. It's totally because I'm also not that. Like, I've had a situation with my husband where he bought me a really expensive gift. It's all relative, but something that he's given me, and I'm like, oh, but there was no need. I mean, thank you. I appreciate it, and thank you for getting it. But, and he's like, that's fine. I'll just give it to my cousin if you're not going to use it. I'm like, no. and so it's interesting, because he likes giving gifts, whereas it's interesting because I always thought that if you like giving, you like receiving, but he's not that either.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting kind of thing to tell. So like, I'm not a gift person like that also. I put a lot of pressure in making sure that it's all balanced out, right? In the sense of, because you want that person to like what you've done. I'm spending the time and energy. If that person likes an experience versus a physical wrapped gift, I do that basically. But I do have that attachment to, I've spent time and energy to it, and you do hope that that person enjoys it. I don't hold grudges if they don't. But it is like a process you go through. So I understand what you're saying. I think time for me is like a bigger kind of factor in terms of gift, in terms of love language. Spending time and communication versus a gift, where I'm like, if you're not communicating with me and if you're not spending time with me, I don't care about your gift.
This is it. So even to like my parents, if they want to bring something for my son, I always say, just come and spend time with him. That's your biggest gift. Toys are secondary, but my son might like the toys more. So have you figured like your kids' love languages now that they're getting older?
So, I mean, I think they have multiple. Again, it's been an experiment, because I've been figuring out my own, you know, and I think it's more towards what I steer them towards. If I can show them a better time, there was a time when gifts worked, when I'm occupied, I'm busy, I am not mentally available, I have a lot of things going on, then I know a gift will cheer them up. It's basically me giving them energy in some form or the other, right? And so they know my intent is good. I'm coming from that space. There's connection through that. But there have been days where, you know, I feel like the amount of time I spent playing a board game cheered them up to the next level. Then I know this upped it, you know, and this is the benchmark now. So I can go on expanding there, you know, and like the quality, the jokes, and, you know, the story time at bed. So which one is more? So it's again a discovery process. But I do think ultimately, if you give someone a taste of really good time, of course they would want that. And there are people who will want the gifts too. I think so. My kids enjoy that. But like my daughter, I know on a day where if she gets really anxious about exams or something, the gift won't do much, but a joke and you know, spending quality time will work.
So good to know.
Yeah,
I think we also have days where, you know, like when we reward ourselves with online courses at midnight, it's probably a gift day, whereas when we want a hug, it's probably a physical love day.
Yeah.
And so on. Something that I see a lot on social media, Deepti, is especially, I think, in a place like Dubai, I have been conscious of giving my child a more grounded reality in terms of, I don't know, simple things like making their beds, doing their dishes. We're not there yet. He's only six, but slowly starting to get him to start making his bed or taking his dishes to the sink at least.
But he's always been the one that has like a little broom in his hand and he'll enjoy that too. So he...
Not so much recently.
As a child, I remember that.
They all do. They all...
Yeah.
Because it's a game. It's a game.
He loves cleaning windows and stuff like that. So... Yeah, that is there, but I want him to be functional, you know, when he goes into the world. And sometimes we, because in Dubai it's common to have help, we don't sometimes do these things ourselves. So our kids will only probably get worse. I don't know. But then on social media, I see people with multiple kids getting their kids to turn by turn wash dishes for the family and earn pocket money or stars, which then leads it to a toy or something.
Yeah.
I don't like this reward system myself because a reward in essence means there's a punishment, which I don't like personally.
Right. I mean, again, that's so subjective. Like if I'm putting two scenarios in my mind, there are two kids, both parents asking the child to clean up.
Yeah.
One parent is doing it as like military style, more or less. I'm not saying exactly that, but one is more like, let's just try this out. One child is going to grow up remembering this as torture. The other one is going to be like, this was fun.
Yeah.
So the same thing can have a different angle to it, you know. So
true.
I just feel like, again, I'm in the process of figuring out. That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Because the kids are not doing chores. They'll do more of that during summer. But ideally, I would want my child to focus on school, extracurriculars, all of that. And then when there's spare time, you know, focus on this. But during school days, it's less and less of that. I rather them have playing outside, socializing, meeting friends. Somewhere I want them to have this feeling right now, I'm figuring it out, that this is being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But I do also think that as you get closer to college, at end of it, these are skills you don't want to leave your child without, because she shouldn't be like deer in headlights.
Yeah.
You know, she should feel like I have some confidence about whether it's cooking or putting my laundry or organizing my closet. I can do some of that. So I think it's more for me when it's a bit, when they're older. And as long as their time is not being used in a negative way where excesses of social media or something, I would fill this in. But I think there are 10, 15 things I would give them before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you reward them with pocket money, stars, stripes?
I have tried that and for me it hasn't worked. Maybe because I don't have clear structure and I'm not convinced yet how to make this work. So I haven't dipped into it fully because I don't know how to set it up or be consistent with it. Where if I'm coming across flaky, they're not going to take it seriously.
Yeah, that is a big one.
Yeah, so when I'm sold on it, I know my child will be because I need to be convinced first. The only thing I would say I have tried is the reading, because I was struggling with that. So I got them to a book challenge and got them to read books and it worked and, you know, gave them something for it. I don't remember if it was significant, but at least it worked.
Yeah.
I tend to lecture them a little bit about enjoying the journey and it's not about the reward. But, you know, sometimes it is about the reward.
Yeah.
So it's going to be both.
Yeah.
As long as I'm aware of what I'm doing.
Yeah. Recently, I saw something on Instagram that I was first like really into, and then I started reading the comments, which I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have. But I saw a parent with a young child, and it was about screen time, and that is relevant to me, especially in the summers. I find that screen time really goes up.
Yeah.
So they'd made five tokens, like five coins, which were your screen time quarters, 20 minutes each, and the child can decide to use all five together, which would be what, hour and 20 minutes, or use them whenever they wanted. And all the comments were about, oh, but then this takes away from their natural regulation of when they want to switch it off, which I understand, but it feels like an amazing tool to
me. I think go for it, because whatever strikes to you is right for you. I think there's going to be plus and minus for everything, and they're going to be like you said, so many comments and views. But I think just if something you align with, I mean, what's the worst case? You learn from it.
Yeah, because and actually, were these comments from parents, to your point earlier, where these books and things were written by people that were not parents and they were giving parenting advice? So it could just be some random on the internet, you know, social media, and then at the end of the day, I think it's quite empowering to teach your child to kind of use that time as per the, so they're making that decision for themselves versus you saying 8 to 9 is bed, is whatever, and then bedtime, and then this and then that. So that's the flexibility.
I think I might actually do this pretty soon, because we were really strict with screen time when he was super young. And then we found that he loves TV now after that, versus kids who've always had TV on in the background, just as background noise. Some houses do that. And they are not obsessed with TV, but then they never sit and watch a movie as well, because they just can't focus. Whereas my son really looks forward to, like, you know, screen time. Always like, oh my, he's hypnotized, literally. We learned that in hypnosis as well, but he's really like not in the world, he's in the movie, which is good, I suppose, in terms of his focus, and he's able to sit for a long period of time. But most days, one of the questions at least I have to answer is today a TV day, mummy? And normally the answer is no. From Mondays to Thursdays, we don't do TV. Between Friday and Sunday, he gets enough TV, but summers will probably be a lot of TV, so tokens it is.
I think, like you said, to that point where he makes that decision when, but he understands the system, and he also gets the point that it's not absolute no. I think it's like a balanced approach for now. Until you learn.
I've sold it to myself.
That's what matters.
Kalyan is going to be there on social media saying, you don't know what you're talking about, to all these comments.
I'm going to drive by Daiso, buy some nice looking tokens on the way back. And do you do pocket money, Diti?
No, I don't. So my daughter, on I think different occasions, as my son as well, not that one is treated differently, both of them get, you know, money from various people. So she's, I normally collect that stash for them, of course, and but you know, the older one is starting to collect hers now that she's been getting it. One thing I've noticed about, I'm just observing, I try not to interfere, because let them sort of express who they are. She loves saying, I have this much money. You want anything? Do you want anything? She asks everyone, can I get you something from that money? And I'm like, that's not a lot of money. She's like, no, but I can get it. Don't worry.
That's amazing. That's like abundance mindset. I'll get it for you. You're covered. Don't worry. You're all covered.
I've got my piggy bank.
So whenever her friends come over, she just, you know, without a thought, she won't ask me, because I can sense that desperate, like, I want my freedom, I want to make a decision, I don't want to ask you, and this is a hold up for me. I know I really want it, so I'm not gonna ask you. I can sense that from her. At first I'm like, what did she just do? And then I'm like, wait a minute, this is, she's clear. So I had to step back and pause and reflect, and, you know, I think if we as parents are as conscious, I think we've get our own answers. Right or wrong, we're trying to figure it out. So even Viraj is like, you know, he'll go and give it to her from his piggy bank, so and I'm like, okay, so this is a good thing right now. They want to share, express, and all of that, so let it go on. But it's not like I consciously, to go back to your point, I don't consciously give them pocket money, but they do get they do get where they feel they have something with them.
Did you earn a pocket money, Rupali?
No, we didn't get. No, I mean, it was like, you'd have what you have.
You get what you
but
want.
But it wasn't like a structured weekly or monthly, like, spend that you then save up, and there was none of that, basically. But it was obviously quite different, because I think the child today has more places and more channels to spend than we did. So ours would be like the school tuck shop, you know, 50 cents a Coke or whatever it is, you know, versus a child today who goes to the mall with their friends and then wants to spend or whatever it is, you know. So it's a little different.
Yeah. So, I mean, actually, this is a great point to bring up. The reason I want to talk about pocket money was because I want to, looking back, like, I didn't get pocket money, but I got when I wanted. And same with the kids, when they need it or they go to the mall, they'll get the money to spend, or even the card, credit card or something. Yeah. But, like, would it have helped to get comfortable with money as a child and learn to manage? You know, because then you learn, okay, I have to balance to save. This is my save, or even how do you balance, like, what did I get enough change back, or, you know, these little things. You start to, like, get
skills.
Comfortable. Because when I went to college, I was a little bit like, no, I don't want to mess up, so I didn't want to use anything. So then you go into that, not scarcity, but, like, still afraid sort of
mindset. It is scarcity. When I went to London to study, my aim used to be to keep all my meals under £5. That is pretty restrictive in London, unless you're having chips, literally. Then you kind of start, you know, putting these restrictions on yourself. But I did get pocket money, but much later in university, when I think my belief system was already formed. So I think there's also interesting point we brought up before we started recording was different mentalities between the mom and the dad. And your kids obviously, like, take a bit of both.
And I think we are changing as well. So, you know, and again, it depends on a good day or a bad day. So, I mean, the thing that I tend to notice sometimes, one parent has more abundance mindset and the other person has a more scarcity mindset or survival sort of tendency, or just feels the need to balance the situation because someone is a little out of bounds or, you know, not thinking. So there's that pressure to sort of come and step in to contain.
But the voice of reason.
And I feel like that tends to happen. But something else that ties in is also, I feel like, are both the parents working? Are both earning? Is one, you know, and are both privately aligned about this? And I've seen, like, both my husband and I having different viewpoints, different stages of life. And again, depending on what the child wants. But yeah, we there have been a lot of instances of good cop, bad cop.
But also, like, two parents earning could also lead to a lot of guilt buying in terms of, oh, because we don't give them our time, we won't say no to anything.
Exactly.
I think the self-awareness and all of that, because if you yourself are as, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but I've seen couples that both work and they don't have the time to be self-aware in terms of how they're behaving. And so that's when it results in that kind of behavior where you're just guilt-buying. Whereas someone who's not as kind of restricted with time may have the option or the opportunity to be able to take a step back and let it play out, right? You want to let the, like you said, give the child time to let it ride out and see where... So, the time is, I think, that's where the scarcity and abundance kind of comes from. Where if you think, I feel like it's very, it's all kind of interlinked, right? Where you, if you feel there's a lack of time, you suddenly feel there's a lack of money, there's a lack of love, there's a lack of relationships, there's a lack of support. And so it all kind of intertwines in that complex way. And so if two people are self-aware versus one person are self-aware and the other one not, and the other one, the one who's away, is often kind of paying the price of, and not even just about being parents or anything, but I'm like, why do I have to pay the price because I'm self-aware in terms of how I behave? Why do I always have to think about it? You know, I just want to be also. So it's interesting how, because that plays out in parents too and in just
and
life
it's
in
like
general.
You know, you'll find, like, all these kind of kids who you'll meet, and one will be like, my parent was so busy earning and not available, but I had everything. Then one parent, one child will be like, yeah, my mom was always available, but my dad wasn't. And, you know, the personality difference. One was more controlling, but more available. One was less available, so more, you know, forgiving and just, you know, abundant. So
it's interesting.
It's like that. your macrocosm and your microcosm. It's sort of like who you are is playing out in different areas, like you said, relationships, money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can end today's episode with a few tips that you'd want to give to parents who are riding this journey. They don't have to be very black or white tips.
Yeah.
They can be tips from your journey,
whatever they are. Going to Rupali's point of self-awareness. And I think just being more forgiving with yourself would be the number one. Just constantly being self-aware.
Very relevant.
You know, yeah, if you're forgiving, you're modeling that to your child. Because if you haven't figured it out, your child is also learning with you.
Yeah.
So I think that would be the greatest big one as you figure out the various rules, you know, whether what you're going to do this summer, use tokens and next summer do something else.
Yeah.
You're going to learn from that process.
Yeah.
So have grace for yourself.
Yeah.
I think
change your mind and said at the beginning.
Allow
of the
that, you know, allow that space to for yourself and your child and not have too many hang-ups about messing up the parenting journey. Because like you were saying earlier, we've turned out okay. So I'm sure we're, as long as we're conscious and wanting to be conscious and aware, I think we'll figure it out.
I think so. Yeah.
And respecting sort of that journey, like, you know, one partner might be on a different page and, you know, and what do they have to contribute for me? Because why am I getting triggered about this? What do I have to learn, right?
It's horrible. You're always pointing it back to yourself.
Yeah.
I told that to my husband this morning. I'm like, you're pointing a finger, but do you see what's happening to the other three? And he's like, oh.
But isn't it that with everything?
It is. It is. It gets a bit irritating.
Yes.
When you're not in the mood for self-reflection.
But the best part is you can sit and talk about it like this.
Exactly.
That's the best part.
Yeah. So with that, we'll close this episode. Thank you very much for coming, Deepti. We'd love to have you over again and again to share your insights. But thank you for sharing your time.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad I could put a voice to all the thoughts that I have in my head and share this with you all and learn so much while being here. So thank you.
I'm sure we've got a lot more thoughts to tap into, but that's for a future date.
Yeah.
So please share this podcast, leave your reviews, your comments to support us on our journey. We are so passionate about making your lives more abundant with this information.
So with that, we bring this episode of Our Financial Adventure to an end. Please follow us on all social media platforms at Fantastic Females. None of the information provided is financial advice, and Fantastic Females is not a financial advisor.
The information provided is educational only. It is general in nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances.
Please use your own due diligence before making any financial or investment decisions.